We have been looking at character that counts. Tonight we're going to be looking at the character of loyalty. Loyalty. This is a character trait that, as all of them that we've looked at, there just seems to be such a deficiency in the average person today in the area of loyalty. Trying to get people to commit to anything for a period of time. Some people are willing to participate as long as there's not a commitment. The divorce rate in America is actually going down. But that's not because things are improving. The problem is people just aren't getting married. They're just living together. And they're just not even bothering to get married. They don't want to commit. They don't want to decide to invest a level of loyalty which should be really synonymous with a Christian. To say you're a Christian should be synonymous with saying you are a loyal person. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man laid down his life for a friend. That type of loyalty is the loyalty which Jesus Christ has for you and I, and is what is expected of you and I. The topic of loyalty cannot be brought up without somebody somewhere along in the conversation bringing up man's best friend. For if ever there was an animal that depicts loyalty, it is the dog. The dog, man's best friend. And I could spend the balance of tonight telling you stories of dogs who portrayed a level of loyalty to their master that is just unbelievable. Amazing. I remember seeing years ago on the program I Shouldn't Be Alive a story of a lady who was out jogging early in the morning. She was a marathon runner and very fit, but she lost her footing and fell. Nobody knew where she was running, or she was not expected back at any particular time, but she fell a considerable distance. She actually dislocated she busted apart the bottom half of her body from the upper half of her body. All of the bones were completely dislocated, disconnected. Only cartilage and skin held her together in the center here. And she began to bleed internally. Her dog that was running with her took a number of hours, but he found his way down to where she fell. She was obviously in excruciating pain and could not move. She did have her little water bottle with her, but if I remember correctly, either that was just about gone or it broke in the fall, but she was out of water soon after she fell. The thing is, the dog finding their way to her, the dog did two things for the next 48 to 50 hours until she was found. The dog, body warmth, kept her alive in the desert air, the coolness of the night. Without the dog, she would have froze to death because her body was fighting for its life anyway. And then the dog helped her, dragged her to a water source. Her body being disconnected, she was able to turn over and then kind of pull herself, and with the help of the dog, pulled her to where she found a little puddle, and she was able to drink that water, and she was able to stay alive until somebody found her. The faithfulness of a dog. That kind of loyalty, and there are many, many stories about the loyalty of dogs. One amazing story about loyalty is a true story about a leading economist who was in work one day, and he told his administrative assistant, he said, "I would like you to hold all my calls. I've had a very long day. I'm very tired. I need to rest for a few minutes. When I get up, I'll let you know that I'm up, and you can resume letting me have my calls," and so on. So he laid down in his office, closed the door, and laid down to take a short nap. Shortly after he laid down, the President of the United States called his office. And the secretary, the administrative assistant, said, "Mr. President, I'm sorry, he's resting." And he said, well, go get him. She said, I can't. He told me not to disturb him until he got up and came and told me he was ready to be disturbed. He said, this is the president. Wake him up. And she says, Mr. President, with all due respect, I work for him, not you. And she hung up on the president. And later, the president got to talk to this economist, and he said, I want you to know, if your administrative assistant is ever looking for a job, I want her in the White House. She was going to do the desire of her boss regardless. One of the greatest stories of loyalty that you find in the Bible is the friendship between David and Jonathan. Really, I labored to decide what passage of scripture to look at when you talk about loyalty and what to do. But that amazing loyalty that they had to one another, and especially Jonathan to David. Later in David's life, it seems that you have this picture of loyalty and disloyalty over and over again. But later in David's life, you of course know he sinned with Bathsheba. And as a result of his sin, he was going to reap a fivefold penalty for that, which you can track through his life and see what those were. One of those is the passage we're going to look at this evening, and that is the story of Absalom. And 2 Samuel chapter 15, and look first of all in verse number 1. For the sake of time, we won't read the entirety of the passage. We're going to kind of skip through here. But, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared his chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Here Absalom is laying the plot to overthrow the king. This is one of the most heartbreaking stories of disloyalty in the scriptures outside of those that were disloyal to Jesus Christ. Because not only was Absalom disloyal to the king, but he was disloyal to his father, to his own dad. He systematically plotted to overthrow the kingdom and to take control of the kingdom. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 15. In verse number 15, it says, and the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord king shall appoint. Let's go back to verse number 14. Absalom here is about to take over the kingdom, and David, opposed to fighting in the city of Jerusalem, says, let's leave. So in verse number 14, he says, and David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape this Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So Absalom's determined to destroy his father. He wants to take over the kingdom. And David, opposed to fighting his son, opposed to attacking and maybe destroying the city, he says, hey, we're gonna wreak havoc on this city if we go to battle here. He says, let's flee. And David flees and he runs. Amazing testimony in David's life of loyalty to God and God's will. We're going to see that as we move a little further down here, but even though he's king, he determines to leave the city. The people then had to choose, were they going to be loyal to the king that God had set up, or were they going to be loyal to this imposter, to the one who had set up a coup to overthrow the kingdom? So tonight we want to look at this idea of loyalty from this passage of Scripture and others. The definition of loyalty. What is the definition of loyalty? According to dictionary.com, the state or quality of being loyal. I thought you weren't supposed to use the word in the definition. I mean, I thought that was fundamental. But that's what they have, the state or quality of being loyal. It's faithfulness to commitments or obligations. One person put it like this, a committed dependability to a person or a goal. I have written it like this, because I really like the word fidelity. When you're talking about loyalty, I have here a fidelity that can be depended upon, even in the face of hardship or criticism. Loyalty is a fidelity that can be depended upon, even in the face of hardship or criticism. Fidelity is much more than just faithfulness. Fidelity is much more than just loyalty. The idea of fidelity is consistency. It's trustworthiness. It's dependability. It's faithfulness. It is a sure promise that's going to come through. That's a fidelity. It goes beyond just faithfulness to really an undying commitment of dependability, even in the face of hardship and criticism. What did we say there, the first verse we read? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That depicts that definition that I gave you. The opposite of loyalty is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness, being unloyal, being undependable, not being able to be counted upon, not being consistent. All believers should become loyal, faithful, dependable. As we become more like Christ, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we, through walking with God, become more and more like God, we are slowly changed into His image, and we should be more and more loyal. Now, there are many today who think about and look at loyalty in a bad way. It's sad, but it's true. They look at it as a negative thing. And I guess it depends on what they're talking about being loyal to. If it's something that doesn't matter, like a football team, man, let's be loyal to that. That's my team. I'm going to be loyal to that. If it's authority, oh, you can't, as authority, demand a loyalty. You're just a dictator. Well, that's not biblical. That is a mindset and a philosophy that has infiltrated the minds of many Americans, because some people have messed up. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a second. Let me give you some examples of loyalty. We looked here at David. The amazing thing is his servants here in verse number 15, the servants said, and the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. They said, we're going to go. These were his servants. And they said, we're ready to go with you. Wherever you're going to go, whatever we got to do. And David's like, hey, this is going to get rough. We're going to be going up and down in the countryside. I've been through this. We're going to be living in caves. Listen, this is no fun at all. And they said, we're with you, David. We're with you. And we're going to go with you because we know that you were the king set up by God. In verse number 19, an amazing man and the picture of loyalty here. Attai, the Gittite, is talked about. Verse number 19, look down there. Then said the king to Attai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. An exile was... You know, God's people were put into exile. They were captives. They were essentially prisoners. Here David said, listen, my kingdom is being overthrown. We're going to be on the run. You're just an exile. You don't have to be here. Why don't you go back to your people? He told them, hey, things are a mess. You could go home. You go ahead. And look what he says to him in verse number 20. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. David's saying, I'm not going to be mad at you. You can go. Mercy and truth go with you. I mean, you go on your way. You don't want to go up and down with us through the countryside. Verse number 21, and Attai answered the king, and he said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. He says, David, I'll die with you. He was a captive. The king told him, why don't you go ahead and go? He says, no, I'm with you, David. Whatever it's going to cost me, whatever the hardship I've got to face, whatever trial I've got to go through, I'm with you. And there's a very key and important principle taught there in that verse that I just read you. He declared his loyalty to two people in that verse, the Lord and the man that the Lord had set up as king. Those were declared there very, very clearly. We see in verse number 25 through 26, David's loyalty to God, regardless of the situation. Look at verse number 25. He says, and the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. Do you know what the ark of God was? The ark of God was the picture of God's presence. It was a picture of God's power with you. There were people that stole the ark of God because they wanted God's power with them. There was times in the Bible that they said, hey, let's get the ark of God because we need God's presence. What David said is, I realize the ark of God is a picture of God's presence. Do you know what he was saying? I mean, Absalom was overthrowing the kingdom. He had no right to it. For him to send that back, almost for many people that were just looking at the ark, they would have looked at him having, at Absalom having the ark, as he's the one that God is with. Just that would have given Absalom extra authority. But look what David says. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. He says, listen, whatever God wants, that's what I want. If God's done with me as king and Absalom's going to be the next king and that's what's supposed to be, whatever. But if I have favor with God, God will work this out. God will work this out. Amazing testimony of the heart of David. I don't have time tonight to contrast this between the heart of Saul when he was king and the heart of David as he is king. And when David was running from Saul, and then now as he is king, and now he's running from Absalom. It's an amazing picture when you look at all three characters. And in each situation, David is the one. Doesn't the Bible say, a man after my own heart? In all three situations, you see David is the one that has a heart that's right towards God. Even though he's the one that's being sinned against. So some examples of loyalty, we'll get back to our text here. We're going to talk about some principles here, but let me just give you a couple of others. David's loyalty to Saul over and over again. Isn't it amazing? David even got mad at Saul's guards when he was able to get into the presence of Saul and cut his garment. He was even he called back there and he called him and he says, listen, you're worthy of death because you were not protecting the king. I mean, David was loyal to him. His men came to him and he said, let us kill him, let us kill him. When David was in the presence of Saul, and he says, no, we're not going to do that. Continually, over and over again, David displayed his loyalty to the king, to God's man, even when he was the one being mistreated. Then, amazing picture of Ruth and Naomi and her loyalty. Ruth's picture of the Christian life and our loyalty to Christ. And how Naomi says, hey, there's not really any earthly prospects for you here. As we are believers, there's no earthly prospects for us. Our prospects are in heaven, amen? But that amazing picture of Ruth saying, hey, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Whatever happens to you, I'm going to do. That picture of Ruth's loyalty. Some examples of disloyalty we see in the Bible. Ahithophel went with Absalom in chapter 15 and verse number 31. I want you to see this, Ahithophel in verse number 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Ahithophel was a counselor, a friend of David. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 55. In Psalms chapter 55, David talks about the pain of his friend Ahithophel betraying him and what it was like. He says in Psalms 55 in verse number 8, we're going to turn back to 2 Samuel, so you might want to keep your finger in there if you haven't already lost it. But in Psalms 55 verse number 8, he says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. You see him talking about leaving the city here? He says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm, from the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from their streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. You see David talking about how he's betrayed by his friend Ahithophel? If my enemy would have done this, it would have been okay. If somebody that hate me would have stood up and stood against me, that would have been all right. But he was my friend. We walked together in the house of God. Christian, do you see that pain that was caused there? We have got to be considerate and conscious of the fact that when we hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we're disloyal to God's people, pain is caused there. And it's a pain that goes much deeper. They could deal with it from outside. They could deal with it with somebody that was lost. They could deal with it with their lost family members who don't even know God. But in the house of God, the people that they're calling God's family, that cuts deep. And that's a pain that is hard to deal with. Disloyalty. Adonijah, we don't have time to turn there, but in 1 Kings, Adonijah tried to set himself up as king as well. At the end of David's life, Adonijah was Absalom's brother. And you see, you influence your siblings. You influence. That just hit me, like right now. Absalom's brother did the same thing Absalom did. He tried to set himself up as king in 1 Kings. I think it's chapter number 5. But he tried to set himself up as king. He was going to be king when God had chosen Solomon. The Bible says in Chronicles, David himself said that before Solomon was born, God told him that Solomon was going to be the next king. Adonijah himself in First Kings there, where I was telling you, he himself said that I wanted to be king, even though God said it was going to be Solomon. He even knew that God said it was going to be Solomon, but he still did it. Now, we don't have time to read all those passages of Scripture. It's 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse number 5 is where he sets himself up as king. Then some other examples of people that were disloyal in the Word of God. I mean, you think about Peter denying Christ in his hour of need. What an amazing thing, the disloyalness there. We could give other examples, but I want you to look at this evening. We'll get on to the deployment. What does this look like in our life? The idea behind this second point is, what is it? What does this loyalty look like when we're talking about day-to-day living, when we're talking about doing what God wants us to do? Listen, there's nothing wrong with being loyal to a man, even though this world has come to the place where they frown upon it, especially when we talk about the position of the pastor. Pastors have gotten to the place where they don't even want to preach on it, because there's been so many that have misused the office of the pastor. There have been some that have put themselves up there with God, and they think that their word is right next to God himself, and they do what people have termed Lord over the flock, and they dictate to God's people how they're supposed to be living every day and what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, you can't buy a car without talking to the pastor first. I mean, there are some that their intrusiveness into the life of God's people has gone too far. That's true. But that doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. That doesn't mean you take the principle of loyalty that God has given to us very clearly in the Scriptures and you decide, well, I'm never going to be loyal to another pastor again. Okay? Just before church, Mrs. Crane was talking to me how she went to a doctor, and this doctor actually put her in a hospital. She was talking to him about her needs, and he said, I don't care what you're telling me. This is what the test says, and he changed her meds. Regardless of what her medical history and all of what she knew about it, the doctor said, no, this is what you need. He changed her meds. After she was in the hospital, she called him back and said, now what? Well, you know what? Ms. Crane didn't say, you know, I'm never going to go to another doctor. That doctor messed up. I'm never trusting the word of another doctor again. No. There are some doctors who just don't do it. They don't, you know, their bedside manner is non-existent. Whatever. They did something wrong for you. That doesn't mean you don't ever go to a doctor again, that you don't ever trust a doctor's word again. You know, I imagine most all of you have been at some point mistreated, if not flat out taken advantage of by a mechanic. But that doesn't mean that when your car breaks down, you say, well, I ain't trusting no mechanic. I ain't going to a mechanic. Forget that. There was a mechanic one time that he did this to me. Okay, now I know there's situations that have happened in life, and some of you have come from churches and come from situations where there's hurt there. And I don't belittle that hurt, and I'm not saying that situation wasn't wrong, but I'm just trying to encourage you, don't let that define the rest of your life. You move on and live biblical according to God's plan and what God would want you to do, and get past what you can with that. Don't hold that situation against your current pastor. What I want to teach you tonight, I've got so much to cover. We're really just getting to the heart of this right now as far as practical. What does this mean for us? What does loyalty mean for us? First of all, loyalty must be firmly seated toward God. It must be firmly set. In our first place, our loyalty must be towards God. And everybody says, amen. Right? In agreement? Nobody has a problem with that. Our loyalty must first be towards God. That must be first. We know that, and we could go through scripture after scripture, and for sake of time, we're not going to do that, but I think that's a principle that has been taught here. We know that we seek God first, our loyalty to Him first. I mean, the Bible says you're to love God above your mother, your brother, your father, anybody else. God comes first. Amen. Now, loyalty is not determined to, when we're talking now, loyalty first to God. Loyalty after that is not determined by a person's personality, whether you like them or not. You see, there's different levels of loyalty, different responsibilities that come with each of these. Like we mentioned, you are a Ravens fan. Amen, Miranda? A Ravens fan. You know what? There's nothing wrong with being a Ravens fan. There's nothing wrong with having a sports team that you love, that you would not put on a Steelers jersey if they paid you. I mean, whatever. You've got a level of loyalty there that towards whatever team it is that you like. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe some of you are Ford guys. You Ford, man. I would not drive a Chevy. I mean, who knows? There are Ford people, there's Chevy people, there's Tesla people, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to drive. What I'm saying is there's different levels of loyalty, and we kind of, in our mind, we get to decide what truck we like and how we want to do that, and if we want to be loyal to Chevy or we want to be loyal to Ford, and that's okay. But the problem is we've taken that level of determination on our own and applied it to the rest of our relationships. All of a sudden, now I get to just decide who I want to be loyal to based on whether I like them or not, based on their personality, based on, just like we do with the team or with the car. Does that make sense? But that's not how we are to determine who we're to be loyal to. You see, the point is if you're loyal first to God, then you're going to be loyal to the things and the people that God is loyal to. The question is, did God establish them, that person, in your life? You see, David was loyal to Saul even when Saul was going to kill him. I think from a personality standpoint, David wasn't real impressed with Saul. I think David probably had, a sound argument for not being loyal. But David was loyal to Saul. Why? He tells us, you know what, why don't you turn there? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 26. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter number 26. In 1 Samuel 26, look at verse number 9. And David said to Abishai, you see, Abishai wanted to kill Saul. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You see, David was going to be loyal to the person who God was loyal to. Even though he had a reason or he had a justification or, you know, all of us would look at it from today's logical deductive reasoning and determine, well, he could be disloyal, it's all right. But David said, no, God has set him up as king. I am not the person. I haven't been given the authority to be disloyal to him. You see, if our loyalty to God is correct, then we'll be loyal to the things or to the people that God has established in our life. Joab and Abiathar chose who to be loyal to based on personality, not God's will. And we don't have time to turn to this passage. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. When Adonijah set himself up to be king, he declared himself that he was going to be king, even though it was supposed to be Solomon. Well, Joab and Abiathar decided to go with him. They liked him. They wanted to do that. You know, kids, This is where you're at. Because what happens with you guys is you determine that your loyalties are going to be based on the guy you like. And what happens is your loyalty that should be given to your mom or dad, your mom and dad have given instruction, your mom and dad have said, this is what I want you to do, but you have a loyalty here with a friend that you're buddies with. And you're going to allow this loyalty to usurp that one. Is this friend a somebody that God established as an authority in your life? Yes or no? No. So our loyalties, what we got to understand biblically, our loyalties are to be directed by God. And that goes to the established authorities in our life. God sets the authority, and we are loyal to it. Loyalty is an acknowledgement of God's authority structure. Loyalty is an acknowledgement of God's authority structure. You're realizing that. I mean, there's times, there's things that the government does that I'm not real pleased with. But an acknowledgement of the authority structure set up by God, I know, according to the book of Romans, that I am to be subject to those powers. And I am supposed to maintain a level of loyalty to that. We're loyal to the things or the people that God is loyal to. Now, I'm going to give you a few things here that God is loyal to and that we're to be loyal to. First of all, our country. Our country. All through the scriptures, you see God establishing a nation, a people, a country, and he is requiring of them loyalty to their people, to their country. Just throwing it out. We don't have an immigration problem in America. We have an illegal immigration problem in America. All right? They are here illegally, and there is nothing wrong with people wanting to come and immigrate to America and become Americans. When they wanted to come to America and become Americans, they wanted to learn English, and they wanted to be here and support America. And you know what? If we needed them to, they would be willing to strap on armor and pick up a gun and go fight for America. Even to fight and maybe even die for this country. They go through the testing and they go through learning the Constitution and they have to swear allegiance to America. That's a God-given authority and it's okay. Problem is they want to come to America and reap the benefits and the wealth and not have any loyalty to her. I want you to know that's not right. That's not biblical, and that's not what God would want. We're to be loyal to our country. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it's not selfish, and it's not bigoted, and it's not you don't care about the rest of the world, and it has nothing to do with the rest of that. But God says if you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. We could apply that to our nation as a country, and other nations should have personal patriotism, and they should have a desire to improve their country and be loyal to their country. But it's not America's job to fix the rest of the world's problems. You should be loyal to your church. The strength of a church or a family is like the army. It is found in undying loyalty to one another. The strength of a church is found in undying loyalty to one another. We should be loyal to God's house, to the church. You shouldn't be getting your church online. Now listen, you want to read a good book, you want to watch a sermon, you want to do these things, that's fine. You need to be careful who it is you're listening to. But that's not where you get your church. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Not for Joe Schmo's Bible study. And Dr. Bottlestopper's principles of life. Okay? That's not what Christ died for. He died for the church. Gave himself for the church. You should be loyal to your church. Those people that want to get their church on YouTube, I want to ask them to call that YouTuber when they're in the hospital. And say, okay, come and visit me. Come and pray with me. Ask them to call that TV evangelist when one of their family members is passed away and they need to hold a funeral. You know what? We as a church, we're going to be there in somebody's hour of need regardless. But there's an expectation that the church should be there, that the pastor should be loyal to the congregation, and he should, without question and without fail. But listen, we need to be loyal to God's house. Amen. Be faithful to the church. You should be faithful to your family. Your family. You ought to love and be loyal to your family. Men, ladies, your husband, your mate deserves loyalty. Deserves loyalty. That means you do not tear them down to other people. You don't discuss the problems in your home with other people or other family members. One of the worst things you can do is run home to mom or dad and talk to mom or dad about the problems you're having in your home. You want them to like your mate. At least like. And because of the love that you have for your mate, you're going to get over the current problem and you guys are going to go on, but your mother is not going to get over it. She's going to hold that junk against your husband or against your wife for the rest of her life. Don't discuss, that is disloyal. To discuss your problems with other people outside the home, you keep it in the house. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter. Don't destroy them or your relationship by being disloyal. Now, if you're seeking help, that's different. If you're seeking help from somebody who can help, that doesn't mean you're just talking to one of your friends, guys, or you're just talking to one of your friends, ladies. I'm talking about somebody that can help you. You're seeking for help. That's different. The difference is this. When you're talking about it with them, are you trying to find help or are you trying to make your mate look bad? How you present it. See, I've had people in my office. They struggle over the words to say because they don't want to make their mate look bad. They're trying to find a way to say there's a problem between us without saying she's the problem or he's the problem. That's the right kind of spirit to have. See, there are other people that would come in and unload. 15 minutes is nothing but that mate's problem. The mate does this, the mate's problem, the mate does that, whatever. Okay? Listen, that's the difference of the heart. If you're loyal, you'll have that right spirit about you, seeking for help. Loyalty says, you might hurt me, but never on purpose. Never on purpose. Somebody that knows their mate is loyal understands that I understand that you might hurt me on accident. Something you said or something you did, but I know you would never do it on purpose. Does your mate have that assurance? Does your mate know that you would never do it on purpose? We ought to be loyal to your place of employment. You don't like your boss. You don't like the company you work for. Miss Lisa was talking to me just before church today. She didn't even know this was in my notes. She said the exact things that are in my notes, almost word for word. I asked her, how was work today? And she says, well, work's work. You know, but she said, you know what I tell people at work? I tell people, hey, at least this puts food on my table. At least this pays the bills. You see, there are people at work that just complain and complain and complain and complain and grumble. You know what? You don't have to work there. If work is that bad, you could get a job somewhere else. But don't take their money and then complain all week about how bad they are. Don't take their money and then complain all week about how unfair they are. If you don't want to work there, then don't work there. But if you do, then be loyal. Be loyal to the workplace. A friend should be loyal. A loyal friend is going to defend you. He's going to defend you. You can write this reference down, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. You can read that on your own. A loyal friend is going to defend you. A loyal friend loves at all times. Proverbs 17, 17. We know that he loves all times. A loyal friend loves in, you know, in sickness and in health, you know, in riches and poor. I mean, at all times, a friend loves at all times, when things are good and when things are bad. A loyal friend will help, not hurt you. Does this mean that you never disagree with a friend? No. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. You can disagree with a friend. But you know what loyalty is? Loyalty is that nobody, I mean nobody else, knows that you disagree with that friend. That's what loyalty is. You see, disloyalty is everybody else knows, or we don't even have to say everybody else. We'll just say this person knows. This friend knows that I disagree with that friend. Loyalty, I may disagree with that friend, but nobody else knows. Now, you know the staff we have here at the church? As far as I know, my perception is that they are loyal. They've actually been accused of being yes men, that they don't have a mind of their own, that they are so loyal that they'll just do whatever. But do you understand? All that does for me is show me how loyal they are, because that means that you don't know where we disagree. Because we do disagree. There have been things that Pastor Derek has stood in my office and says, you can do what you want, you're the pastor, but I disagree with you. But you know what? There's not one of you in here that could tell me what that conversation was about. That's what loyalty is. That is what loyalty is, and that is what we're supposed to be for a friend. Not that you don't ever disagree. It's that nobody but that individual knows that you disagree. Let me give you some limits on loyalty. This is so important. I've got to give you this stuff. I know what time it is. We're going to give you some limits on loyalty. Loyalty is limited when one loyalty conflicts with a higher loyalty. You say, when should I not be loyal? I mean, is there ever a time that, listen, I'm not teaching just blind obedience and just follow somebody off of a cliff and just do whatever the pastor says, even if he's doing wrong or whatever. I'm not teaching that. So I'm saying there are limits to our loyalty. What is that? I put it like this. Your loyalty is limited when one loyalty conflicts with a higher loyalty. Let me give you some examples. When your loyalty to a team, to a sport, nothing wrong with having a loyalty to a sport, But when that starts to conflict when you're with your loyalty to your family. You see, there's a higher loyalty, and so my loyalty to the team has to suffer because there's a higher loyalty that's calling me. When my loyalty to my family or when my friends, my loyalty to my friends keeps me from my loyalty to my family. When my loyalty to my family keeps me from my loyalty to my God. You see, when you understand God's structure for loyalty, God's structure for the authority, when we go back to it all starts with God, our loyalty is to Him first and foremost. Through biblical principle, we establish the other authorities that God has put into our lives, and we remain loyal to them until one of the lower conflicts with the higher or the greater. What does this look like in your life? How do you deploy this development, the development of this in our day-to-day life? I'm going to give you these few things quickly and we'll be done. You maintain your pursuit of God. First and foremost, we said God is first. You maintain your pursuit of God. He must come first. Loyalty to God is first. If that's right, we will be right with other people. So how do you develop loyalty in your life? You pursue God. Then do a self-check and see how loyal you are to the things that God is loyal to. Do a self-check. Find out how loyal am I to the things that God is loyal to. And get on the right side and stay there. Avoid activities that would cause others to doubt your loyalty. Avoid activities that would cause others to doubt your loyalty. Whatever it might be. Absalom sitting in the gate talking to people. Boy, I wish, you know, if the king had somebody here to talk to you, you would be a lot better off. But I'm here. And if I was king, very clearly, being disloyal. Make it a habit to promote and praise God-given authority. Make it a habit to promote and praise God-given authority. You know, kids today have gotten to the place where they feel that they don't have to respect officers at all. The police. They're like, oh, they don't have to even listen to the police. You know why? Because nobody in their life has been establishing that authority for them. Nobody's been talking about the police and showing appreciation for the police and talking about the hard job that they have and the good job that they do and the authority that they are and that they should respond, they should obey. I saw a video, I don't know, maybe you guys seen it. I think it was came through my Facebook thing, but this lady, she was probably 60 years old, got pulled over for a taillight that was out. And he wanted to give her a ticket. For a taillight that was out. She'd been driving around with it, she told him, for 6 months. So he was going to give her a ticket. She's like, you ain't giving me a ticket. And he says, yeah, I've got to give you a ticket. You've been driving. She says, I ain't taking that ticket. He says, you need to sign it. She says, no. So he says, okay, well, I'm going to arrest you. She says, no, you're not. You aren't arresting me. And he says, yes, ma'am. If you're not going to sign the ticket, I'm going to arrest you. And she says, no, you're not. She closes her door and drives off. So he of course, chases her and catches her. And says, you're under arrest. And of course, now she's mad. She's not going to be arrested. And he pulls her out of the car. They fall down on the ground. He tries to handcuff her, and she won't be handcuffed. She's fighting like crazy. She kicks him more than once. So he steps back, and he says, if you don't stop, I'm going to tase you. She says, you better not tase me. You know, I mean, she's just yelling, you know. So she's kicking him. So he tases her. She's like, what'd you do that for? No. I just cannot believe the audacity, the disrespect for the authority. All she had to do was sign the ticket and pay it. It's her broken light. She could have got it fixed and she wouldn't have that problem. You know, the only way that our government works in this country is when people have self-government. We are quickly going to a society that's going to be a police state. The reason it's going to be turned into a police state is because people aren't governing themselves. You've got to praise and promote the authority in their lives. Loyalty is not just the absence of the pessimistic, but the presence of promotion. You say, well, I don't ever say anything bad. But do you understand that by your silence? When you're at work and somebody's complaining about the job, talking about how bad it is and all that, and you don't say anything, do you know that that's a vote for them? You say, well, I didn't say anything. Yes, you did. You voted for them. You need to make a habit of praising and promoting the authority. Dad and mom, in the home, one of the worst things you can do is tear down the authority of your mate. You think, well, I'm upset with them right now. Get control of yourself. Because you are destroying the authority that your husband or your wife has with the children. You've got to promote them, promote them, promote them. And then your kids will respond to them the way that you would like them to. You've got to promote them. You tear them down and you wonder why your kids don't listen. You've got to promote the pastor. I don't even like saying it. You know what? For some reason, Titus and Andrew love their pastor. They just wave for me a long ways away. They're like, oh, pastor, hi, you know. They just love their pastor. You know what? When their pastor has to talk to them, when their pastor is teaching the word of God, they're going to listen. Because somebody's been lifting up the pastor to them. It's not this person. It's the position of the man of God that's preaching the word of God to the hearts of God's people. You have got to get past the idea of promoting Caleb Bottrell. Listen, I don't want it. I don't need it. But you're hurting yourself and you're hurting other people in the church when, because of pride, you can't do it. You would rather tear down the pastor. And you're destroying the ability of God to work in the hearts of God's people when the pastor preaches God's word. There is nobody in here that knows more how unworthy I am to stand up here than the guy that's standing up here. There is nobody in here that feels that week after week after week. The inadequacy, the inability, the undeservedness. I'm not standing up here puffed up. I'm standing up here saying, God, help me. These are your people. I don't deserve to be here. I don't have the ability. I don't have the wisdom. But you can go a long ways in the lives of your children and the other members of Hunt Valley Baptist Church if you learn to promote and praise the authority, not Pastor Caleb, the position. When you're silent, it is a vote for those that complain. I love this church. I love my wife. Do you understand that in a vacuum of praise, we are drawing in criticism? In a vacuum of praise, in a place where we do not praise, where we do not promote, we are drawing in and asking for criticism. Loyalty is what makes it possible for a church, for a family, for a friendship, or for a government to last. Outside of loyalty, it will not happen. It will not last. Loyalty is what makes it possible.